Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, and who do we have to welcome back? Longtime co-host. What's your name, dude?
Will.
Chill Will. All right, so we got William here. It's going to be taking William today, and we got a lot to cover. The first thing we're going to cover is the fact that there's another way to watch McGregor Mayweather now.
Did you hear about that? How?
They just announced that the McGregor Mayweather fight will be available at select movie theaters around the country.
Oh, I think I saw that. The AMC movie theaters, correct?
Is that what it is?
I believe so.
Okay, so you already know more than what I do on that one. This is kind of interesting. This kind of takes you back to, you know, the 50s, 60s, and 70s when a major fight would normally be, you'd have to go to closed circuit or to a movie theater to watch the fight. I think this is a very smart move on these guys' part, strictly because of the fact that it opens the doors for people who, you know, don't have that $100 to drop for this fight. They can now watch it for, I think it's $40, or is it $50?
Where, in the theater?
Yeah, in the theater.
Ooh, I'm not sure about the price.
I believe it's like $40 to $49. It's less. It's right around that $40 to $50 mark. Instead of having to spend the $100 to get this, to do the pay per view.
I don't know about that. It might be actually be cheaper because I've seen that UFC puts on some fights and they put it and make it available in theaters. Mm-hmm. I think it's just more cost effective if they make the prices lower because, I mean, you can fill up a movie theater with a lot of people and $50 a person, that's a lot.
Well, you know, you're also talking about the fight of the century.
Billion dollar fight.
Yeah, you know. And a lot of people are talking about, like, you listen to some of the like ESPN and Fox, and they all think it's going to be a big joke, which I don't think it's necessarily going to be a joke. It's going to be an intriguing matchup of styles, in my opinion. But it definitely gives people who may not have the chance to actually order the fight on their own. Maybe they don't want to go to the bars, but maybe it's a place where you can take the family and maybe feel a little safer than going to the bar. So I actually look at it as a good thing. I'm pretty positive the price point is being at $40 to $50 for, you know, for a ticket, which means by the time you go to the movie theater and you drop $50 on a movie ticket, you buy your popcorn, you buy your drink, you bring, you know, one other person, bring your spouse or your date, it's cheaper to actually stay home and order it.
Yeah, definitely. You can split the cost, too.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I just don't see how. I mean, it is a nice way to see it. It's on a big, on a large screen. Would you go to the theater to see it over going to the bar?
I would definitely go to the bar. And if anything, I'd go to my buddy's house and we'd split the pay-per-view. But let's just talk about the theater. I mean, you ever watched a comedy in the theater? It gets really loud with people laughing and everything. I cannot imagine.
A bar.
I know. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine watching fights on a huge theater and just, I just don't know how that plays out in the complete darkness.
Well, okay. This is before the, you didn't come to the Mayweather Pacquiao fight at my house. And
wasn't invited.
But at my old house, I had a theater screen that was 300-inch. And so when I had the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, I did it on a 300-inch screen, and everyone loved it. They absolutely loved it. So I could see that would be one of the things to see it larger. It's a larger than life fight, in a larger than life kind of scenario as far as the large Jumbotron screen. Well, you know, when I think about it, if you're talking about like being at a movie theater, not being able to hear anything, I think you'll be able to hear the fight and the commentating better at the movie theater than you would ever hear at a bar or at your buddy's house who may have, you know, 15 people there.
Oh, I get that. It's just like when people watch fights, especially at the bar, they stand up. They get into it. They start cheering and everything like that. How does that play out in a movie theater?
There's the question of the day. That's the one thing that makes it a little nervous. Makes me a little nervous. This fight has me, and it's not just this fight. A lot of people, when you look at fighting, major fights, a lot of times it rides that wave of, you know, race relations, the white fighter versus a black fighter, and this is no different. You know, they've
this is amplified.
It's the great white hype, tenfold. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
Okay. Well, this is literally the great white hype. It's a horrible movie, but Damon Wayans is the heavyweight champion of the world. And that's already, you understand where I'm coming from. And he's fighting Irish Mickey Ward or Irish whatever the guy's name is, this Irish guy. And this time, it's actually the same thing. You have this unstoppable black fighter against this popular Irish fighter. Only difference is, in that movie, I believe the Irish guy fighter got knocked out in like the first round, like seconds into the first round. A lot of people are expecting that same kind of outcome. I'm not one of them. I don't see McGregor getting knocked out in the first round.
I don't either.
See, so you agree. You're one of the few people that agree. So back to the theater. When you have a situation where you got all the race issues and everything, if you have a group of Mayweather fans there, and someone's God forbid, a couple of racial slurs come out, that theater could get pretty darn ugly.
Very high some security.
Yes.
A lot of security.
But the same applies to a movie, to a bar. The big difference is you're going to have, your booze are going to be flowing at the bar. I think the safest place really is home to watch it. Because then you can say, you know what, Will, you're my friend. You can come. Billy Bob is not my friend. He can't come. You know, that's my thoughts on it. You have any, what else? Do you agree, disagree?
Now we're talking about like movies and some parallels with the Great White Hype, I'm seeing a huge Rocky parallel. You know,
an underdog
faces like an indomitable champion, Apollo.
It's exactly Rocky. If you think about the first Rocky, it was a situation where Apollo Creed was coming to Philadelphia and he was going to fight the local popular guy in town. And it ended up being more, he didn't take it serious. But he ended up being a tougher fight than he ever thought it would be. Very few people realize or even remember that Apollo Creed actually won that first fight.
Yeah, he got the decision.
So, now, well, you haven't been here for a while, but I know you've been paying attention to what's been going on with all the stuff with Mayweather, McGregor, from the tour, all the stuff they're talking about, you know, it's McGregor races and all this talk about women and things like that. And before you even say anything about the comment on the McGregor's racist part, I'm going to give you my two cents on this, which a lot of people don't realize. I'm an African-American man, and I went through and I watched those interviews, and I heard everything that McGregor said, and not one second did I ever think he was being racist whatsoever. You know, and if anything, they played it up to hype the fight up more. But when he called Mayweather a boy, he was saying, you know, it was just one of those things, dance for me, boy. But he didn't mean it as in, like, boy as in the race, kind of more of a racist epithet. It was more of, you know, he was just, in the moment. And then he changed it, and then later on he called him a boy again. But I never thought he meant it as a racist statement. What about you?
I completely agree with you. I don't think he meant it as a racial remark at all. I mean, we live in America. We are very privileged to be exposed to all different types of races. And with that said, we like to stand up for what we think is right and what we think is wrong and whatnot. And I think that they were just looking for something.
I think it's not they or the
they assigned it to that specific remark, even though McGregor's from Ireland. He doesn't have the same context with these same words and the same verbiage that he's using.
Okay. And I won't, you actually know this, but you know, I worked at one of the radio stations for one of the big sports networks, and I've talked about this before. And one of the things that they do is they create their own news. The whole concept of fake news, you know, it's not necessarily fake news, but they will try to find a hot button, and then they'll make it an issue. And I kind of felt like that's the way that the angle they went with. That did not even have to be broached at all. But I feel like they're trying to create a villain so that it gets better ratings for the fight, but also so that you will tune in more to find out what's going on. So I think they were grasping at a story more than was McGregor really racist or anything like that. So that was my take.
Yeah, they're just trying to get ratings, and they just misconstrued what he's saying. Even if they didn't misconstrue what he's saying, they know that it's something that people are going to get riled up about, and when they get riled up about things, they tune in.
And I'll even go as far as this. I think Mayweather was totally on board. He didn't mind it because Mayweather knows that's going to sell more pay-per-views. And everyone, it's one of those things where it's like, line up, be angry so that you can buy the event. Mayweather knows he's going to come in as the bad guy. There's going to be, I'm going to say, over half of the people that buy this pay-per-view is going to pay just hoping to see Mayweather get his butt kicked. Do you agree or disagree?
It's been like that for years.
He knows it. He's a genius, dude. He really is a genius.
A marketing genius. When you watch him at the press conference, you can basically see him. You observe him, and he's counting the money in his head.
Oh, yeah.
He's smiling. He's letting McGregor touch him on top of his head. He's just living it up.
That was and I know we're bringing up a subject that happened a week ago?
Yeah, a week or two.
2 weeks ago. All right. I'm a boxing fan. I've been a fan for years. I've watched, I've seen Mayweather fight in person. I actually know some family members of Mayweather. I know some people that are very close to Mayweather. Let me tell you something. If Mayweather was really angry, do you think he would have let McGregor touch him on top of the head without a fight breaking out?
No, definitely not. He was smiling at that point too.
You know, so that was the first thing. Second is, my question to you is, bringing up a subject from a couple weeks ago, who won the press conference?
I have it 3-1 McGregor. And the first one was close. I could see it going as a draw, so it's either 2-2 or 3-1, and I'm leaning towards 3-1.
I am scoring this. I would have scored it in Pride Rules.
Oh, Pride Rules, okay.
And let me tell you why I'm going to score it in Pride Rules. Because the very first one, and I'm assuming you gave the first one
to McGregor.
To Floyd.
No. Okay. I gave.
Oh, really?
I'm not.
Which one
no.
did you give Floyd?
I gave him Brooklyn. I gave him Brooklyn because McGregor, that was one of McGregor's worst performances. I cringed.
I thought he demolished them in Brooklyn.
I cringed, man. I watched that live and I could not. I just, it was very uncharacteristic of him.
I'm shocked. I thought McGregor was not prepared the first one, and I had Mayweather winning the first one. I had McGregor winning the second. Annihilating. I mean, like, he beat, like, he clearly won Toronto. I thought he annihilated him in Brooklyn, and then he won London. That's how I had it.
No, I can't agree on that Brooklyn one. He stayed, I mean, Mayweather stayed consistent throughout the whole ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
But in Brooklyn, the crowd was pro McGregor. They were cheering him on. They were
just
doing
like
everything.
Toronto, they were all, yes, I agree.
And when McGregor continued with his antics and he addressed race, they started booing him. They started turning against him. You can uh-huh. listen to them, and they started turning against him. They wanted him off, and then he even cusses at the crowd. He starts to turn it back because he doesn't know what to do, and he's kind of lost in that stage. And I haven't seen that from McGregor in a while, since maybe his Nate Diaz conferences.
Now, back to my Pride Rules, though. So I'm going to give you my scoring. Round one, the first one I gave to Mayweather. The next three I gave to clearly. So like I said, Mayweather won. The next three was, and I didn't even think it was close. McGregor, I thought, annihilated him. I thought clearly outperformed him, everything. But when you get your final scorecard in Pride, you score the fight or the bout, and Mayweather won. Let me tell you why he won. You just smile at me. You're disagreeing with me, aren't you?
No, just tell me why.
Jose Aldo, Eddie Alvarez, he gets in their head. He pisses them off. They want to show him who's boss. That's McGregor's game plan. Get you to fight outside of your comfort zone. Press, do something out of the abnormal. He cracks you with a shot, and you're done. It didn't bug Floyd. Floyd didn't care. Touch his head, no problem. Call him a B and everything else. He's over there. He's over there, you know, with Snapchat, just like videotaping yep. and everything. Mayweather was enjoying every single bit of it. He didn't win. The fact of the matter is, he did not win the mental war game. And that's the one thing that McGregor needed to do. In my opinion, in order for McGregor to win, he has to make Mayweather do something abnormal. I don't think the whole conference was not enough to get Mayweather to do something abnormal. The one thing that is in McGregor's favor is the media is like, he's not going to land a punch. He's going to get knocked out. If Floyd feels pressure to knock him out and press the issue and not fight his normal way, then McGregor can win. But if Floyd, who is a genius inside the ring and outside the ring, you know, they talk about why you have a book bag you can't even read, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
That was just pure napalm just dropped on him there. I love that. But he's a genius when it comes to promoting fights, preparing for fights. If he stays in his normal, if Mayweather goes into the lab and comes up with counter punches, shoulder rolls, it's not going to be a one round fight or two round fights. It's going to go late and McGregor's going to get punished. But if Mayweather goes outside of his normal comfort zone and try to knock McGregor out, that's when McGregor has a shot. What about you? What's your thoughts?
I mean, at this stage of the game, it's hard to get. I don't think you can really get into Mayweather's skin. I mean,
no, Mayweather's been doing this since he was a kid.
He's cool as a cucumber, and he's seen it before. He knows how much it's going to earn them in the end. And they even had it written in the contract that he can't, like, fight or, I mean, even touch someone. So I don't know if that's...
Didn't faze me.
It didn't faze him at all.
No.
He's prepared for it. He's seen it, and he just knows that what really matters is going to be that fight.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about McGregor Mayweather and a couple other items. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen,
it's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back. And we were kind of recapping since Will and I hadn't had a chance to talk about the McGregor-Mayweather fight and the press conferences, the fact that they're actually going to be putting the fight at the movie theaters. One of the things that I found out that a lot of cable providers are really freaking out about is they're a little concerned that this fight is going to be so big that they don't have the infrastructure to support it.
Really?
Yes. Like, and that shocked me when I heard that they did the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, and I mean, and they're talking about not just like the major guys are really freaking out. They've been scrambling to make sure they have enough infrastructure to cover the number of pay-per-view buys, because there could be an issue where they can't support them. Could you imagine how heated it would be if the cable providers could not, you know, something happened and they couldn't process all the pay-per-views and McGregor did win?
Oh my gosh. The outrage. The public outrage.
It'd be worse to speak and bringing up another topic, but it'd be worse than when OJ got off.
Yeah, it definitely. It'd be all over the news. I mean, now that you said that, now you mentioned how big it potentially could be, I've been walking around. I've been going to movie theaters. I've been going to the mall and just walking around in general public. And I've heard more about this fight than I ever did about Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Listen, I've been watching boxing since I was a little kid. I remember, and I was, you know, I was like, I think I was like five, and the first major fight I remember was Muhammad Ali versus Michael Spinks, and it was on TV, and I was trying to stay up late. I was like five. I was like 5 years old. And I fell asleep, and I woke up, and it was like the next morning, and I remember my dad telling me that Muhammad Ali lost, and I cried. Because Muhammad, you know, as a kid, it's not fathomable that, you know, Muhammad Ali would lose as a little kid. And I've been hooked on boxing ever since then. The only reason why I don't host a boxing podcast is the last few years, boxing hasn't really been in the public eye. And then this year, it just took off like crazy. That being said, I've been to Vegas. I watched Mayweather, Ricky Hatton. I watched, De La Hoya, Sugar Shane. I've been Holyfield, Bo. I've been to so many of the top fights. And I've been in Vegas the day of a fight, and I haven't heard people talk about a fight more than this. This fight is bigger than even being in Vegas the day of a major fight. More people are talking about it just walking around, stores, anywhere. Someone's talking about this fight at all times. You know, so I agree with you that people are fascinated by this, and the cable companies know this. A lot of cable companies are worried that they will not have the infrastructure to process all the orders, and that's nuts.
I hope they shore it up, and they hope so too. I mean, there's a lot of money on the table.
Man, if the satellite was to go down or something like that, and there was a blackout in that fight, went off and McGregor won, man.
There's some riots going on.
Across the globe. I'm not just saying in the U.S. Europe. There won't be no North America and Europe any longer. It'll just be a smoke. It'll just be a big pile of smoke.
Apocalypse.
So, that's... I'm very curious. I haven't seen any more about this. I know that... That some of the big companies were adding more infrastructure and making shoring things up, just making sure that they had enough infrastructure to make sure they do not lose that fight, because that would be disastrous.
Yeah, they have a month.
They have a month. That's not a lot of time, not in that world.
It isn't.
Now, with that being said, like you said, just you're a busy guy. You're scrambling around here. And Will has like 40 million projects going on. And I respect that. But you're around way more than I am nowadays. And you know how much is coming up. Is there a point where are people just before the fight even takes place, is the fight starting to lose steam because people are just sick of hearing about it?
Meh. It gets to that point, but come fight night, the hype and all the excitement that was building up towards this, it all ramps up again. I mean, people are just fascinated by fights. It's just built into our DNA. We always want to watch it. Whenever, like when we were kids on the playground, whenever a fight broke out, everybody ran and see it. Everybody ran. And the same thing is going to happen here.
So... during the break, and where that question came from is, Will just said, he's kind of sick of talking about it, sick of, the fight in general, just hearing about the fight so much. So the fight the hype behind it is losing steam with you, right?
Well, here's the thing. That tour, that 4-day tour, that was a lot to process. And that was way a lot for the fighters. That was way too much for the fighters to process themselves. And now I'm giving them the respect. I know that they're out there training as hard as they possibly can. And I know the fight is coming. And I know that they're going to do what it takes to get to that level and to get to that stage. So I just wanted to let it cool off. The hype is done. Let the last few weeks start to ramp up the media again. And then... the hype will be back again and in full force.
All right. So if you ever listen to the women's MMA show that we host, I was talking about, it was as a joke, when OJ got released. Funny, I've brought up OJ twice in this conversation. When OJ got released, and I said I wanted the undercard to be Cyborg versus OJ, just to make it just go even the hype train and this clown car of a fight situation, you know, that's all going on. Let's just put it over the top. Let's put Cyborg versus OJ in there. Where was I going with that? Man, I can't even remember what I was.
Well, I'd pay to watch that. That sounds awesome.
I do not remember what I was getting at that one. But it's one of those things where there's just a situation where when you're looking at these fights and all the hype, eventually, will it really set the record? Is it going to beat Pacquiao Mayweather? Is it going to be close? Is it going to be, you know, just going to annihilate it? What do you think?
I think it's going to be close. I really think it's going to be close.
I don't think it's going to be even close. I think it's going to blow it out the water. I think it's going to be so huge. I mean, there's people that just will watch it just because they want to see McGregor. There's going to be people that just want to watch it. You know, all the boxing fans are going to watch it. All the UFC fans. That's the reason why they're putting it in the movie theater is because you can take your kid to go see this fight. And they're trying to find a place where families who, you know, can take their kids to see it in a safe environment, which the safest environment would be home. But that's the whole premise behind it. And a lot of people are just going to take them just because this is going to be history. I think it's going to not only beat it, but I think it's going to blow it out of the water.
I definitely think it has a chance. And going back to what you said earlier, we waited. I mean, the fight, the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather fight should have happened in 2009. And we had to wait years for it. That's why the hype kind of slowly dwindled. But even after all those years, people still went to go see that fight. And this fight happened pretty abruptly. I mean, it was...
Well, that's the Mayweather thing. Once Mayweather, and even Pacquiao, once Mayweather decides that he's going to fight someone, you know, it won't be... Like a lot of fighters, the thing I used to hate about boxing is it'll be like February and they'll announce that, you know, Razor Ruddock is fighting Mike Tyson in November. And it'll be like, November? So you got to wait almost a year before the fight happens. Mayweather, once he figures out that he wants to fight you and they sign, he wants it sooner than later. It's normally a month, 2 months max. It's always been that way with him.
Yeah, he's a professional. I love how he fights. I love the frequency in which he fights.
You know what? People may not like Mayweather, but I love the way he does business.
Oh, he gets the Cinco de Mayo cards. He gets the Labor Day cards. He knows when people want to watch the fights.
Oh, yeah. And he plays up on that, you know, that he's not popular. And he'll go, you know, Cinco de Mayo and he'll find the, you know, he'll fight Oscar De La Hoya or he'll fight Canelo Alvarez.
He'll wear a sombrero.
Yeah, and then he'll wear a backwards sombrero. You know, into the ring. Now, one of the things I was going to say that I got twisted around was with the press conferences, this is kind of like the blueprint for if there's ever, and that's where the whole Cyborg OJ fight thing was kind of going on. I'm like, if they ever do the Cyborg OJ fight, hypothetically, just joking around. The one thing you learn from this is you don't need four events. Four is too much. They should have had one event in the U.S., one in London. Get rid of, sorry, Toronto, which I thought you guys were amazing, but get rid of the Brooklyn card. Get rid of the Toronto card. If you'd just had it in New York and then in London, that would have been perfect. Do you agree?
Yeah, that would have been more than enough. They went on a flight, a long flight, one after the other. And it was just all a whirlwind experience. And by that time, they were running out of material. The fans were getting restless.
I agree. As a matter of fact, not only do you just do two, but I don't think, you know, I think they should have done one now. And then I think they should have done the second one like a week or 2 weeks or so right before the fight. That should have been the second one. What do you think on that?
If Mayweather and McGregor were down for that, I mean, business-wise, it makes total sense. But you're a fighter. You're training for fights. They do that in the UFC where they're the week up leading to it. You do a lot of media. You have a lot of obligations. If they wanted to do that, I'm totally fine with that. I'm sure there's going to be media obligations in the week before, and I think that'll suffice for me.
You know what I mean? If they'd have just done the LA one, it'd have been just, like, amazing. Everyone would have been talking about it. And then a week before the fight, they go to London and they talk. You know what? You'd probably have to do it reverse. You do London first because you don't want jet lag or anything like that. So you do London first, and then right before the fight, you do a week before you do LA. Talk about just being hype. You know, the day they do it, the week before, they open up the pay-per-view buys. You can buy it right then and there. Because I feel like they lost a lot of momentum. People would have bought that pay-per-view after that first press conference. If they'd have just said, go ahead and open up the doors and you can buy it pre-buy it instead of it being $100, you can pre-buy it for $75 right after that.
Listen, Tate, I mean, we'll go back to this again and why I didn't like the Brooklyn card.
Okay.
After the Toronto card, my hype levels were at maximum level. I wanted to see the fight right then and there. And here's the thing. My imagination was taking over.
I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. I was thinking about what could possibly happen. Is Floyd in? Is McGregor in his head? Is Floyd in his head? And I was like, oh, how's he going to play in the fight? And then once they got to Brooklyn, jet lag started to take place. They got a little bit tired.
It was flat.
The crowd was flat, and I lost some of the enthusiasm that I had.
I agree.
So I think that less press conferences and timing would have definitely benefited the promotion.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so this concludes us talking about Mayweather McGregor for now. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again at some point. But when we come back, we're going to talk about last week's UFC on Fox. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Okay, and now we're going to talk about this past weekend's UFC on Fox, Long Island, and the fact that Chris Weidman, he finally got another win. And that sounds kind of weird to say, Chris Weidman finally got a win, but he was coming off of three straight losses, 1-2 when he lost the title to Luke Rockhold. The second one, a devastating knee in which he got knocked out by Yoel Romero. And the third one was
a stoppage by Gegard Mousasi.
Yes, who was no longer in the UFC. So he's come off of a three-fight losing streak and an impressive win, an impressive stoppage of Kevin Gastelum. I always have a hard time saying his last name.
Kelvin Gastelum?
Gastelum. Isn't it hard to say his last name? It is challenging. You're like, I guess. You know, the one thing, the reason why I bring this fight up, one, because it's a big deal. But the second thing is, after the fight, he's talking to Michael Bisping. He's talking about he's back and a title shot and things like that. And the first thing I went through my mind is, what the heck are you talking about a title shot? You just lost three in a row. You're not even in line for a title shot. I was wrong. He is in line for a title shot.
Yeah, you look at the division at this stage.
and this is the reason why. And what I'm doing right now, since this isn't on television, is I'm bringing up the rankings. So, you have the champion, Michael Bisping, who has only fought the number 14 contender since he won the title from Luke Rockhold. So he hasn't fought. And how long has it been since Bisping's fought?
I mean, almost a year.
It's been over a year.
Almost. First, he recorded his first defense in October.
Okay. Michael Bisping hasn't fought since Nixon was president. I think that's how long it's been. So then you turn around and you say, who's the, you know, we have the number two contender, which you'd be setting up a Robert Whittaker because he beat Yoel Romero. So Robert Whittaker, you know, that's going to be the next championship fight is Bisping versus Robert Whittaker. Nope. Robert Whittaker got injured during the Yoel Romero fight, which is impressive that he beat the two biggest, most scariest guys in the middleweight division by taking a win off of Jacare Sosa and Yoel Romero. But, and it says his next fight is supposed to be a title, but he's actually, he has an injury and he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, he said the earliest he could return probably 2018.
Right. So Whittaker is going on the shelf for a while. Next, Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold has not fought since he lost the title. He's fighting in September, but the last time we saw Luke Rockhold, he lost. So there's another guy with a loss. Yoel Romero. Hey, Yoel Romero just lost to Robert Whittaker. Gegard Mousasi. That's the next guy, right? Nope. He's gone to Bellator. So, do you go Jacare Sosa? Nope. He lost. He's number seven. So, the person ahead of Jacare Sosa, the only guy with a winning streak in the top seven that's available to fight is Chris Weidman.
That's a thin division.
That's crazy. It's, you're right and you're out your darn mind all at the same time. It's a thin division because you're right. Everyone's lost. These are all killers, what I've just mentioned, but they're all coming off of losses. What do you do with this division? A champ that hasn't really defended his title because he fought the number 14 guy who was 830 years old, Dan Henderson. So he really hasn't defended his title yet. And every, you know, the interim champion, he's out injured and he's going to be fighting, you know, sometime in 2018. And everyone else has a loss. The only person that has a win right now is Chris Weidman. Is it crazy to put him in the ring and give him a title shot as his next fight?
I mean, if Bisping is healthy, I mean, Bisping is also one that is injured as well.
Well, now he's supposedly he's healthy now.
Yeah, now he's
supposedly healthy. Yes. So what do you do with this? What do you do with Chris Weidman? Do you give him a title shot?
You could if you want. I'd rather give GSP the title shot if you're going to give anybody the title shot in this thin division.
And that's what I'm saying. Or do you get, but no, GSP, it's already been stated that GSP is fighting
the winner of Maya and Woodley.
Right. So GSP is now out of this picture. So do you let Bisping set even longer?
I think he's fine with being his champion as long as he was.
Has there ever been a champion that's getting so much pub? I feel like the UFC is really promoting him, but he has done nothing. I don't think he's done anything.
Yeah, I mean, he had a long career of being a gatekeeper before this.
And now he has a long career of being a gatekeeper, and now he has a long championship run of keeping the gate closed.
He loves it.
Of course he loves it. I get to be champion, and I get to fight the number 14 contender. And
I get to talk smack on UFC on Fox and on my podcast and all this.
I get to talk all this smack. Hey, Robert, and you know, with a knee injury, you're going to get Robert Whittaker coming off of a knee injury.
He still beats him.
Well, I personally think everybody in the top 10 beats.
I don't know about David Branch and Derek Brunson. Maybe not Lyoto at this point.
I would. You know what? David Brunson, Lyoto Machida, Derek, David Branch, and Anderson Silva, I take them. I say it's a close fight, but I take them.
Yeah.
I think
I can see everyone in this whole division beating him.
I hate to say that. I don't mean any disrespect, but
if Dan Henderson almost knocked him out multiple times in their fight at the age of 48 or so, I definitely think everyone else in the division has a great chance. Everyone else in the division.
Right.
Not even just the top 10, not even just the top 15.
So you're telling me if I, you know, I just said, you know, and I haven't fought a fight and since 93, 94. So you're saying if I get down to the weight class, I got a shot?
Yeah, you cut that weight. You're not too dehydrated. I think you got a good shot. You just land one of those overhand rights. I mean, Bisping won't see it coming on one side.
Listen. Oh, go sit in the corner. I want you to think about your words and come back. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I may not think Michael Bisping is truly the real champ, but he would whoop me like I stole something. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. And I talk about Dan Henderson and he's number 14 and he's 800 years old, he would whoop me like he stole something too. So I'm gonna be honest on that one.
You got one shot, Tate. You got one shot. No, that's all you got.
No, I don't. And you know what, back when I was younger, I had a power. I packed some power. Not that kind of power. No, no, no. I got no shot.
Well, no. Those 4-ounce gloves reinforced with the tape.
Listen, 4-ounce gloves, and they have to wear a 42-ounce glove, and I still would lose.
You put some cast in that glove?
Even if they legalize brass knuckles, I'm still going to go and put my money on one of those guys.
I see.
that's how bad it is. But what do you do with Chris Weidman? Do you give him a title shot? He is definitely, because after losing 3 fights in a row, fighting a blown-up welterweight. This fight shouldn't even count. I mean, he really fought a blown-up welterweight. He has not beaten a middleweight, a true middleweight, in ages. I think they could give him a title shot. I personally think that you have a title. If Whitaker's going to be on the shelf for a long period of time, I think you put Chris Weidman against Joel Romero, and the winner of that gets Michael Bisping.
I don't want to see that rematch so soon. I mean, they just fought, and Joel devastated him with a knee to the head in the third round. Okay,
so then you go Jacare Sosa versus him, or can you do this? Can you give Joel Romero a title shot coming off of a loss?
I've seen it before. Gustafson.
So you would put Yoel Romero versus Michael Bisping for the title?
I would put Yoel Romero versus Michael Bisping more so than I would put Chris Weidman. I mean, the hype is already there, the narrative is there, and it was a relatively close fight that could have gone either way. I mean, he did win 2 out of the 5 rounds against Robert Whittaker, so if they want to do that, they can totally do that, but I think they're going to wait.
So you don't think you think they're going to let Bisping just sit and wait?
I really do think so.
I kind of think what's going to happen is you have Luke Rockhold. He's fighting David Branch. David Branch is the number 10. 10th rate middleweight. If Luke Rockhold wins, then I think he's going to get the next title shot.
Really? I think he fights Chris Weidman again in a title eliminator to find out who is going to fight Robert Whittaker and Michael Bisping.
The reason why I think it makes total sense is you cannot have Michael Bisping sit that long. He's just sitting there.
He's got the cane going on. He's got that long layover. He's up there in age. He's doing a lot of broadcasting work. They're short on that. So
who fights less, Bisping or Conor McGregor? When's the last time who fought more recent? There's a long pause because you got to think that long because
no, it's but been Conor that, fought more Conor, recently.
Yes. That was the Eddie Alvarez fight.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been since Bisping has fought. And because everyone's lost, this win with Chris Weidman's back in the picture. He shouldn't be because with this, if he loses this fight, he has to leave this. If he the funny thing about this fight with Kevin Gastelum is it was a win or else. If he loses, he has no choice but to go up and wait.
Or to a different organization.
No, there's no way the UFC would know. They're not going to lose Gegard Mousasi and Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman's too big of a name. There's no way they're going to lose that. So I think he would have had to move light heavyweight. But because of the way this division is, he gets to fall nicely into the number six spot. And he's right there for a title shot. And it's gonna be interesting to see what happens coming up in September between David Branch and see who gets the title shot. Because if Luke Rockhold loses, and don't think it's out of the question that David Branch has the ability to win this fight.
Oh, totally.
And the reason why I say he does, normally I would not say he has a shot, but Luke Rockhold hasn't fought since he lost the title. The last time we saw him was over a year ago when he got knocked out by Michael Bisping.
Yeah, and he's got injured since, and he's just recently recovered from that injury. I mean, he's in for a good fight.
This win, it really puts the middleweight division in perspective here with Chris Weidman. Anything else you'd like to say about this division?
I'm pretty happy with this division, actually.
You may call it thin, but this is death row. This is a crazy division, and that's why everyone has losses, because everyone can kill everyone except for the champ.
Yeah, it's insane.
Is it sad to say that? And, you know, I hope I do not run in.
I did not see Michael Bisping beating Luke Rockhold, and he still knocked him out.
Here's the thing, though. That didn't shock me as much as other ones, because he had already caught Luke Rockhold before. It was one of those fights that was kind of like one of those grudge matches. It's kind of like Ohio State, Michigan, and, you know, one of them's, like, not good, but they get up for that one fight.
Yeah.
That was that moment.
Yeah, and Luke Rockhold got a little bit cocky, so it didn't really end well for him.
Yeah, exactly. So, before we conclude and wrap things up, anything else you have to say about this division as far as the title picture goes? Before we wrap things up, my question is, when in the rankings, Anderson Silva is no longer in the top 10, because the whole situation where he couldn't get a fight. Do you still put Anderson Silva as one of the top 10 fighters?
Yeah, I definitely do.
I
think he definitely takes around towards the bottom end, but he could easily beat anybody here.
Yeah, I would mean here, meaning when you say here, he's talking about
the whole list. I'm honestly talking about the whole list. I don't see him beating Yoel Romero or Jacare, but I definitely think he has a great chance against all of these guys.
I would give Anderson Silva a shot against any of these guys. So right now, if this was my ranking, you know, number one is Bisping, Robert Whittaker's two, Luke Rockhold, and you know what? I just remember watching Robert Whittaker getting knocked out, getting stopped. I never saw Robert Whittaker getting to the level that he's gone a lot since he moved up in weight. He just caught on fire.
Maybe it's because of a weight cut. I mean, he was just dehydrating himself.
Exactly. This guy, the weight cut made him an average fighter at best, in my opinion. He moves up in weight, and he may be the best. He's arguably the best fighter in all of the middleweight, and that includes Bellator, ONE FC. It doesn't matter. He could be arguably the best of them all.
He just got to beat Michael Bisping.
I'm so wrong to laugh that way. This is your UFC champion. You should take him serious.
Hey, he hasn't fought in years.
He fought in 82.
Too long.
All right. And here's a question. When is Lyoto Machida coming back?
Well, he got suspended for the anti-doping violation. It's almost finished, his suspension, I believe, so he should be back pretty soon. He's just a lot older now.
All right, here is my third OJ comment of the day. Lyoto Machida is the OJ of the UFC.
How so?
Okay, OJ, he went to prison. And listen, I'm not taking up for OJ or anything, so do not attack me about the OJ. I'm just talking about the reason why he's in jail. Guys come, he has some friends move, help him move. His friends steal his stuff. He goes and takes his stuff back, and he gets 33 years for stealing his own stuff back. Now, Lyoto Machida. Lyoto Machida is a nice, clean fighter. He's not dirty. USADA comes through, and they come for the testing. He passed the test, and then he tells them that he took something that he thought was totally legit. They suspend him for 2 years. He passed the test. He didn't do anything, but yet he got punished.
If the glove don't fit, must acquit.
You must acquit. So, Lyoto Machida got suspended for something that, you know, that he didn't even know. You know, I just think it was a travesty why he got suspended, in my opinion. It's not a travesty, you know. I don't want to talk about OJ and right or wrong if he went to jail. I was just making a joke on that one, so don't hate me.
And I'm kind of glad that Lyoto took some time off in his last few fights.
Me.
In his last few fights, he got knocked out.
Lyoto needed to take a year off, but this was way too long. This is going to make Lyoto. I wouldn't put Lyoto in it. Like, they have him ranked.
I'd put Anderson before Lyoto at this point.
Way before. Yeah. I wouldn't rank Lyoto right now. Lyoto has been gone so long.
Why is he even ranked? I mean, they take people off when they're not entered into, like, they took John Jones off for a while.
John Jones just appeared in the rankings this week.
Yeah, why is he still here? He should not be here. Put Anderson Silva in.
I agree.
Hey, journalists out there, what are you guys doing?
And we're looking at the rankings on ESPN.com, just to let you guys know.
Brett Okamoto, come on.
I have no clue why. Yo, why Lyoto Machida is even ranked whatsoever? There has to be, you know, there has to be someone else other than Lyoto, and that would be Anderson. Anderson should be there.
All right, fix it, Brett.
Fix it. This is my ranking, and I got Anderson at number. I actually rank him higher than Chris Weidman. Which is going to be kind of crazy. So I'm going to put Anderson at number 6, Chris Weidman at 7, Jacare Souza at 8, Derek Brunson at 9, and David Branch at 10. That's my following up of that division.
I put him at 8, right above Brunson, since he got that victory.
All right. With that, thank you for tuning in, and we will be back tomorrow because we will be talking about – what will we be talking about tomorrow?
UFC 214.
UFC 214, and there is a lot to talk about. Have a good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.